Of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. I vividly remember as a child sitting in the back seat of my parents' car as we drove around at night through the town, and my brother and I would gaze out the windows up into the night sky. And back then, you could actually see the night sky and the stars and the clear beauty of the night. And every once in a while, as we were riding along on one of those evenings, a big beam of light would shine in the sky. And my brother and I would get really excited, and we would beg our parents to go follow the light and find out where it was coming from. Sound familiar? Sometimes they would give in, knowing too well where it would lead us to. But my brother and I, we just had to find out. I especially wanted to see what kind of contraption could put out that great big beam of light. Well, as you could figure it out, that light would lead us to some parking lot where a car dealership was having their special of the month or some other boring event for a five-year-old kid. But it was cool. It was cool to see the big light, the spotlight turning and shining its light up into the clouds. And it worked. It got my attention. And it led me and my family to where it wanted to take us. I wonder if that's what drove those men from the east to follow that bright and shining star that led them into Jerusalem. I mean, they didn't quite know where they were going, but they felt compelled to find out. I mean, it must have been an extraordinary star standing out among all the thousands of other stars in the night sky that guided them. The star was not only leading them to a special place, but it was announcing to them that a great event has happened, that a king had been born, a king worthy of their worship. God the Father shined a great beam of light from a star to make the cosmic announcement that his son, the Messiah King, has been born just as he promised. The rising of that star tells of the beginning of something radically new and different. A new kind of king has come, and he's bringing in a new kind of kingdom. This is not the first time that God has used the stars in the sky to make an announcement. I mean, God made a promise to Abraham, who at the time was childless, that he would have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so on that would eventually outnumber the stars in the sky. So that night sky to Abraham was a reminder to God, of God's promise to him to give him many descendants, but even more, that through his descendants, all of the nations of the earth would be blessed. On the night of Jesus' birth, that bright and shining star stood out among the other stars, declaring that God's promise to Abraham has come in the flesh. It is no little thing that Gentile magicians would be the ones to whom God revealed the fullness of time had come in the birth of Jesus. Even Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied that nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. And the Magi did not completely understand what the light of that star meant, but they were compelled to come, to follow it, to where they would find the newborn king, and they would fall down, and they would worship him. The bright star outshone all the other stars in the sky, making it obvious even to pagan magicians where they should go. And it held out to them the promise of finding the king that they were looking for. Yet Herod, the king of Judea, didn't have a clue, nor did the religious leaders in Jerusalem. They didn't even notice that a star was brightly shining in the night sky, declaring to them that God has made good on his promise, not only to Abraham, but also to King David. Mary knew because Gabriel the angel told her that her son will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. This is the child that the star was pointing to, whose birth it was proclaiming. This is the king who even Balaam in the book of Numbers prophesied about when he spoke, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." The king had been born. The star was leading the Magi to Mary and to her son, the promised king, the very Son of God. Well, Herod wanted to meet this king as well, but not to worship him, but to get rid of him. Two kings are one king too many. A king has to keep his kingdom intact and his throne secure. Otherwise, he'll lose it. King Herod, who built the temple, didn't trust the one who dwelt in the temple. And really, you and I are no different, are we? I mean, we like being the boss of us. We want to rule over the details of our lives. And it's scary not being in control, thinking that the things that we cherish, the things that bring us security, can be taken away from us. I mean, it comes down to trust for us as well. And the chief priests and the scribes, well, they could tell you where the Messiah was to be born, but they too had no interest in bowing down and worship before him. They were looking for a Messiah to come and deliver them from their political enemies, not the enemies of their sin and their death. I mean, religious people are great at telling you about God and about the details of his word, the history of what God has done, and even the promises of what he will do. But when it comes to submitting to God's word, trusting him from the heart, bowing one's will in worship before him, believing in the one whom he has sent, his son Jesus, this kind of response just simply can't come from our religious will. But it is a miracle of faith that God graciously gives to his children. Kings die, kingdoms come and go, religious leaders and followers all end up in the grave and facing eternal judgment. God sent a different kind of king into the world, one whose throne would be an instrument of his death, a cross, one whose crown was not of gold but of thorns, a king who would also take on the mantle of a priest, sacrificing himself in death that the world would be reconciled to God. There would be peace between heaven and earth, between Israel and Yahweh, between the nations and the God of creation, between you and your Most High God. The star that shone before the Magi was leading them to the city of David, named Bethlehem. The child they found there was told by an angel that he will be called Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. The star brought lowly worshipers before the cradle of their Savior, who would make them and all who trust in his saving death and resurrection children of Abraham and citizens of his eternal kingdom. Jesus himself declared that I am the root and descendant of David, the bright and morning star. His birth has brought the kingdom of God to us by his death, and we're now set free from the kingdom of darkness, and we've been transferred, delivered over into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And in a way, a star still shines for us of a different sort. It leads us to Jesus, our Savior King. It is the light that calls out to you in the waters of your baptism, that has made you a child of his kingdom, washing you in the righteousness of his cleansing death. And now we live as citizens of his kingdom, living in a new life, the life of our risen King. The light of his grace calls you to the place where your Savior King comes, and he meets you at his altar, where he delivers to you the fruits of his earthly mission through his body and blood, the forgiveness of your sins. His light of salvation shines upon you and leads you to this life, through this life, pointing and guiding you all the way into his eternal kingdom. My dear friends, Jesus is your bright morning star. Fix your eyes upon him. Follow him. Trust in him like a little 5-year-old child, compelled to come because he bids you to come. And he bears gifts to give to you of eternal life, forgiveness, and salvation. And he will lead you into his eternal kingdom forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.